Now, this is the first Sunday of Pentecost. It's our celebration of how God instituted and empowered the church through the Holy Spirit. And it is also the means by which we became the body of Christ. That Jesus' presence in the world today depends on you and me. That's what we come here to celebrate. And one thing that can help that is if we know how to pray in the Spirit. Do you know how to pray in the Spirit? You know what that means when we use that term? I think in a lot of denominations it means a lot of different things. But from a scriptural point of view, according to Paul, he's saying the whole world has been waiting for what we now experience. Before Jesus came, before his sacrificial death on the cross, before we even received the Holy Spirit, he said all of creation was groaning in anticipation of redemption. That when Adam and Eve, representing all of us, sinned in the garden and broke their perfect relationship with Almighty God, as we do, not only did it create a distance between human beings and God, but it also disrupted the entire created order. Everything was turned upside down. Created order demanded, because of our sin, a disruption, and it groaned, waiting somehow for God to set that right. And that came in Christ Jesus. That before the fall, animals lived in peace. They were all vegetarians. We were all vegetarians at that time. And then it became a kind of cutthroat universe. This is what we hear from Genesis. So not only human beings, as Paul says next, were groaning for redemption, but the whole created order. These are two signs that the promise of God would be coming when there was an answer to that, and that answer came in Christ Jesus. But you see, it wasn't complete. It hadn't been finished yet, because Jesus had to ascend to the Father, and when he left and went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to testify to him and to testify to the Father, and for us to start a wonderful process that St. Paul talks about in this passage, where we are groaning and sighing ourselves, waiting for our adoption. Now, a couple of weeks ago, when we baptized a child that had been adopted, we talked about that we're all adopted. But you see, in Christ Jesus, through the Spirit, we have the promise of adoption. I don't know if you know this, but adoption is a rather lengthy process. In our state, it usually takes at least a year to complete the adoption process. And that can be a grueling process for families, especially if it's a foster child who's been adopted, and at the last minute a family steps up and doesn't agree to the adoption, and after someone has given their heart and their love to someone for almost a year, at the last moment, that can be thrown out. It's a risky thing. That adoption is not something that you just go down to a lawyer's office, go to the courtroom, and it's done. It is a long process. And we know that psychologically sometimes it's a lifetime process for the child that's adopted. Just dealing with that whole issue of adoption. That adoption doesn't come instantaneously, and neither does our adoption as children of God come immediately. See, the Holy Spirit promised the Spirit of adoption. A process was beginning. That's a part of the groaning and the sighing that St. Paul is talking about here in the book of Romans, in this 8th chapter. So there's the groaning of creation, there's the groaning of humanity, and then there's our own groaning, because we don't fully understand what our relationship with God is supposed to be. You know, sometimes I think we approach God as a cosmic Santa Claus that we go to and ask for everything we want and desire, whether we need it or not. That God becomes the go-to person when we're frustrated. Otherwise, he doesn't get a lot of our time and attention. We come to church on Sunday and we recognize God in our worship experience. But what Paul's talking about here in the giving of the Spirit and what we celebrate as a part of Pentecost Sunday is we must have the Holy Spirit in us if we're even to approach God. We can't even really pray our Father without the Holy Spirit making that connection for us. You know, we all see the cell phone commercials, you know, each company coming out and saying, well, we have the least drop calls. Well, I think they do some kind of research on that, so there can only be one that really is in that position. The other day I heard somebody claiming they had that position. So then the others come out, well, they have the largest coverage, and they have this and that. But you know, I think a lot of times in our spiritual lives, we're like our cell phones. Things are kind of crackly. Sometimes we have dropout. Sometimes we don't get a good connection. We're always losing our connection. The Holy Spirit is that connection for us. And we've got to be free enough in our love of God to learn to pray in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that we don't have to worry about the words. I mean, we live in a very wordy society. You don't get to graduation if you don't learn how to use words and use them reasonably well. And guess what? Those heading off to college, you may think you're prepared, but when you get to college, you're going to think, boy, I wish I'd have had more of this. I'm not near as prepared as I thought I was. Both of my children, as they went through the process, they went through the things where they did well on the writing test and the this and the that and the other, and I was always telling them, I said, well, this is a pretty good paper, but it's not college level. And they'd look at me like, I dare you. I'm at the top of my class on writing. I mean, I scored right up there. But tell them, Matt, isn't it tougher when you get to college? And see, one day, with his major, he may be your teacher. Who knows? But you know, we think we've achieved something. We think we can handle it. But we can't really handle a relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't have to be built on our words. We don't have to have beautiful, flowery words. I mean, God says we don't even have to be very cognizant of what we're doing. I mean, we might even be a little out of our heads at times. But God's given us a gift that when we struggle with connecting with God, the Spirit will pray for us. The Spirit will sigh and groan. I don't know when it was. It was in the last week. It might have been the last few days. I ought to remember it because I'd prefer this happen a lot more often. But Jane came up and gave me the best neck rub and shoulders, you know. And I don't know about you. When that gets really good, I'm sort of like, I mean, I couldn't find words to express how nice that is. It's wonderful. That's kind of the thing that Paul's talking about. You know, sometimes we want to just grow and move closer to God, and we don't know how to do it. Well, just let that which is in you just sigh and groan and moan in anticipation for something good and wonderful. That God can touch you. that God can reach you. And the Holy Spirit will take that and translate the meaning of it to our Heavenly Father. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit helps us pray. We don't have to get hung up on the words. It's about what's going on in our heart. Because Scripture tells us God knows the heart of every human being. God reads our heart, our deepest felt desires, the things most important to us in life. God connects with us on a heart level. We don't have to move it always from the heart to the head. We can just sigh and moan and groan and even sometimes agonize within ourselves. And the Holy Spirit will take that message to the Father. And it may be the best form of prayer, really. Because if our minds are centered on God and we just don't know how to deal with what we want to say, just go with the feeling. Go with the heartfelt part of yourself. And if you let out a sigh or a moan or a groan, it's okay, because our God understands that. He sent the Holy Spirit to be our intercessor, Paul says. Because you see, in our worldliness, in our sinfulness, in our humanness, we really don't know how to connect with God. We do the best we can. But the Spirit connects our heart with the heart of God. But we got to go with it. Sometimes we have to just may have a sigh or a moan of pleasure, like I did with that neck and shoulder rub. Or maybe it's an agonizing groaning deep within us, a hunger for God's presence and God's love. Let it out. For the Spirit will take it to the very heart of God. We don't always have to work with our minds, because God has given us the Spirit. Today we not only celebrate the gift of that Spirit that can take us to God as we pray in the Spirit, as we're just there agonizing over our desire to be close to God, to feel His presence, to experience His love, to somehow learn of His wisdom to address the issues of our lives. But we're here also to celebrate that we have a constant memorial of His presence with us, because He invites us to this table. As we break the bread and share the cup, He promises, as you kneel and receive the bread and the cup, if you come with your heart sighing for a connection with that loving God, He will reveal Himself to you in a way that your mind will never grasp. But you have to come by faith. You have to come and let your spirit speak to God's Spirit through the Holy Spirit. And God will make a connection that you may not can even comprehend, because He loves you. And because you come and you pray in the Spirit. Are you willing to learn to pray in the Spirit? To just sigh and groan and agonize, if need be, about your desire to be present to a loving, saving God? Then just let go. Forget the words and draw in the presence of a holy God through the power of the Holy Spirit, that His blessings might be upon you, in Jesus' name. Amen.